Dr. Pius.
Heavenly Father, we come before you with gratitude for the opportunity to serve. Thank you for the continued dedication and hard work of our faculty and staff as they support and uplift our students with unwavering commitment. We ask for your guidance as we plan and lead, and we pray for continued growth in our enrollment so that more lives may be transformed through education. Grant us wisdom, unity, and spirit of service in all that we do. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comments? None. President Gregory, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, everyone. Lots of good news to share. Of course, you all know from our graduation ceremony recently that we had another great year, great spring graduation, and you have the numbers before you on the presidential report, but more than 1,000 graduates just last month, including almost 700 AA degrees and almost 300 AS degrees, 100 bachelor's degrees, and 70 workforce certificates. So really an amazing job by the whole team. And just, we get this question pretty routinely. So just to bring you up to date for the academic year 25-26, so far 191 AS degree nurses and 89 BSN nurses for 25-26. You also have the other health sciences areas and the numbers, and you've heard from each of them in the mission moments recently. So another very successful academic year for SCF. Also been a very successful athletic year. Our young teams are doing great. Our softball team went to the World Series for Division II in Spartanburg, South Carolina this past weekend. They won two games, so this is a big time to keep advancing. It was a double elimination tournament. They were eliminated, but the teams that eliminated them made it to the Final Four. And they were ultimately eliminated by the number two team in the country in the World Series. So, yeah, very excited team there.
Wow. Yeah.
And you also know, I gave you an update that our beach volleyball pairs, beach volleyball team, went to their national tournament, went undefeated through the whole thing, and are national champions here. So, another great year, and great year for baseball. And Nick and his team, Dr. Pages, are doing a great job supporting these athletes, and academically they are excelling as well. Budget-wise, I just give you this little sneak peek. You know, if you're following the news, that it's been a very difficult year negotiating up in Tallahassee between the chambers, and it's been a year of fiscal discipline, but we are looking very good. I don't want to, you know, say too much, but we're looking very good, and Jennifer and I will be excited to present the budget at next month's meeting, and we're doing everything we can to turn it around from where we were a year ago. So good news on the horizon there. And then finally, following up on a question that Trustee Reiner asked last month, we are ready to talk about that publicly again. Remember at the budget at this time last year, last June, July timeframe, when you approved the budget, you also later, and as part of that, approved from our carry forward funds a $3 million bucket of money. Now, recall that in the previous year, we'd taken several million, I think it was $8 million, Jennifer, and we put that for carry forward, I'm sorry, for Fund 7 so that we could do deferred maintenance and other capital projects. Last year, he said, okay, let's take $3 million and set it aside for some time this year, at the end of this year, for a one-time payment for all of our employees. And so I have the plan, and the plan is to allocate a 7% one-time payment to all employees and faculty. Has to be, for the faculty, it has to be approved by the union. That part hasn't happened yet, but we're still in discussions with them. But 7%, and if they fall below threshold, that 7% wouldn't equal to $4,000, we put a $4,000 floor in. So it's one or the other, but it won't be less than 4,000. And it doesn't require a vote or anything, but it is certainly a recognition of the respect and the appreciation that we have for all of our employees, not the least of which the reason would be for the additional, you know, workload that they all had this year. Because remember, we had a goal of a 5% increase in enrollment, and we budgeted for that. Last year, we did exceed that goal. Dr. Hale, what was the final number?
7.9%
increase in students this year. None of that came with additional money, you know, for any employees. So it's just one more way that we can recognize them and show our appreciation. So I think that will be well received. That's all I got.
If I could follow up, President Gregor and I have had a great deal of discussion on that specific subject. That money is disposable to this board. We could have bought computers, we could have painted buildings, we could have done this or that, but it shows, and I know all of you have already voted on that and passed it, it shows, and I want the employees to know, I hope they listen to this recording, that this board is committed to their hard work and what they've been doing. And we know it's very difficult for us to get funds, that we have no control over getting funds for things like salaries, that sort of thing. Operational income has to come from the clouds, it seems like. But with this board, and I'm thankful to them, have decided that our employees are that important to us that we are going to do this for them. And but when something gets better, something gets worse, but this is better for us, I think, in the long run, to show our employees that, and especially our faculty, how committed we are as a board to them and their well-being. Thank you very much, President Gregor. Any questions for President Gregor? Well, let's move on to Dr. Hale, our strategic plan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm with you today to talk about our Higher and Faster strategic plan, and this will be the strategic plan that will lay out the roadmap for how we're going to get to that 65% graduation rate in the short term. Really excited about that. I'm going to look for two things today, or we tried to do two things today. I'm going to walk through the strategic plan and some of the processes that we went through to get where we are. And also, I'll be asking for you to vote to approve the plan at the conclusion. So part of this is part of the process, but also want to thank all of the members of the strategic planning committee that I get to work with. Dr. Johnson was our chair, Stacey Carollo, Matt Hawkins, Dr. Heather Lee were in a work group that was centered on the stakeholders, the community, the administration, and the board were their set of stakeholders. Each of these groups broke down that way. Aaron Buckley, Dr. Ray Hendry, and Liz Lux worked with a faculty work group, and they looked at the faculty as stakeholder group. Dr. Kim Baskin, Dr. Rebecca Kasky, and Heather Shehorn worked with our staff stakeholder work group, and Emmanuel Achenpong, Dr. Kristen Anderson, and Claire Geiger worked with our student stakeholder group. So what each group did was focused on the needs and viewpoint of that stakeholder group. And also, if you look at these, they're not necessarily from the stakeholder group that they're looking at. Some are, they're mixed around. We wanted a variety of viewpoints and to be able to look at the problems from different lenses when possible.
Yes? I'm sorry, could you just... I know about half of these people are in this room, but for all of us, for our education, how many hundreds of hours do you think worth of meetings and work that this team put in?
We met several hours each week. I think we scheduled two or two and a half. They often went far longer per week since last spring. We were off in the summer, but probably at least a couple of hundred hours just meeting. And then they were meeting with each other outside of that as well. So hundreds and hundreds of hours put in on this group to do this work. Yeah, and they really were committed, and I can't say, I don't know that ever in my life I've had the opportunity to work with a group of people who had more varying perspectives on things and had such respect for each other's opinions and such difficult and challenging debates with just a level of professionalism that was just, I've never seen before. It was amazing to watch them work through really difficult aspects and really hold, you know, it's education. Everybody has a really strong opinion about all of it. And watch them respectfully work through those opinions and come to consensus and compromise. There was a couple of really difficult days there where we literally ended the meeting with everybody just clapping. We realized we finally got there, which is kind of the thing. So in our gathering of data, and this is not going to describe everything we did to gather data, but the main things we did, we began with a core value survey that went out to all of our stakeholders, where we began to understand from what perspectives and with what values would our stakeholders want us to approach the planning process. That also led into what we've already had approved is our new mission, our new vision. Our new mission is already up on the wall. So we've gotten through that part of the strategic plan, and this will bring that to life. We also had cross-divisional strategy lunch meetings. The president wanted to have an opportunity for different people around the college to meet and discuss things. And we thought, well, what a perfect time during our strategic planning. Every college member was invited to a lunch. We randomized the list so that different groups of people would be meeting with each other. And they got in small groups, and they answered questions about how they felt the college could best meet our goals. What can we do to get graduation rate up? What can we do to make things easier for students and retain more students? And everybody in the college had the opportunity to attend one of these lunches and share their viewpoints. So we gathered all of that data. Each group also did a SWOT analysis with respect to their stakeholder group. So from the perspective of that group, what were the strengths, weaknesses, and then the opportunities and threats to the college in being able to meet our goals. Next, after they completed the SWOT analysis, they did some extensive benchmarking. They did a lot of research. What are the very best schools doing in these areas? And what's the newest research suggest are the best practices in these areas? So they really got a good idea of all the different things we could and should be doing. And then last, they looked at what is SCF's current status with respect to those areas. Are there gaps? Are there places we could do better? Are there places where we already have some of those best practices as a strength? And so they went through all of that analysis, gathered all of this data together in their groups, and then began to each work on a proposal. So then these groups, the community administration board group, faculty, staff, and students group, and then a cross-divisional strategy group, each of those presented to the larger strategic planning committee, and we had a lot of discussions and debates about what pieces belonged, what pieces might need additional information, and they went back and forth, and the result of all of that, in these long meetings where we had people debating things, the result was we came up with three major strategic priorities. In order to meet these goals, we had three big areas: student success, academic excellence, and institutional effectiveness. And those three areas become the areas in which we lay the goals out. And each one has several goals. And the goals are lined out by the stakeholder groups that they belong to within those. So I'll flip to that. The first area of student success has some that are student-focused goals: student engagement and belonging, student support, and college and career readiness, which are three big goal areas. You'll see in the paper that you have before you, I believe you got this a week ago as well. Within this, the actual text of the goals are given if you want to review those or look at those. But those were the three big areas where we formed goals. And then under each of those goals were strategic initiatives that would help us reach each of the individual goals. So they laid those out as well. Faculty-focused institutional goal, proactive student support. That kind of looks like student support on the last page, but there is a different focus. Within the faculty one, it deals more with how we promote faculty interaction with students and what things that the faculty are doing in terms of things like early alerts or creating relationships with students and providing different opportunities that faculty can engage students directly. So it's a little bit different. The next set of goals, academic excellence, has only faculty-focused goals. They were to enhance instructional outcomes and to strengthen academic pathway momentum, which helps us get our students into the right path and make sure that our curriculum supports them getting to their long-term goal. Institutional effectiveness has two stakeholder groups that have goals around it: administrative, operational efficiency, organizational culture, and institutional agility were chosen as the three major goals within this subcategory. And staff-focused goals, creating consistency and experience, employee engagement and connection, and technology utilization and integration. Once we had all of these goals together, we created the strategic initiatives that will help us meet those goals. Each of those were designed to be at a more strategic level. They're supposed to be at a level where no one person or no one department could carry out even the strategic initiatives alone. This is intended to help us break down any silos that are going on, help us build better systems of communication, and make sure that we're all moving in the exact same direction. Because otherwise, you know, the lofty goals we have aren't going to be met. So last, we created several versions of the document. The one we provided to you, this one, is the strategic version. Keeps the goals lined out for the board at the right level. We want to make sure that you're working with things that are at the policy and strategy level. Our creditors get fussy if we get into the operational details. But we do have an operational version for the internal use of the college. And I provided to you one version of one goal from that operational version, just so you can look at what we'd be presenting internally. It gives some context and rationale around the goal from research, shows the strategic initiatives just like your version does, but then gives key performance indicators. And it'll show us internally, how are we going to be measuring that we're making progress toward this goal. We have leading indicators of that, we have lagging indicators of that, and each one has a perception or climate indicator. So each of these goals will have good ways to continue measuring progress as we're creating goals from that. And then at the end, we have references given. So if somebody's building a goal around this, or they're doing their gap analysis within their own department, saying, what could we be doing better? They can look to the literature that we looked to when we created the plan, make sure they're on the right page. And then the final one, the complete version, this is probably the only one that will ever get printed, and it's a draft form. This is the complete one. It's about 40 pages-ish. This one has all of the things we did to do the strategic planning. Probably this one will only come out of the drawer again next time they go to strategic plan. They'll say, hey, what was that process? We should look at that again. But we did also create this version that documents all of the things we gathered, all of the steps we took. This one is still in draft. It'll probably take us a little bit more to make sure we get all the pieces together. Are there any questions about our process or about the goals themselves, where we're going? I know you had some time to look them over.
I love strategic plans. I think they're great. But I noticed that the wording that was in the strategic and in this one operational by the end of the 5-year period.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a fan of, and I know you're going to put in KPIs and stuff.
Sure.
But intermittent goals. Well, year one, we'll have this in this operational objective. Year two, we should be at this point. Otherwise, sometimes we lose track. In year four, we have like three open things that we cannot achieve.
Yeah, 100%. So what my office is doing right now is we're setting the stage to begin working at the department level. And each department will now create an operational plan to address their parts of the strategic plan. It'll be broken down exactly as you said. It'll be longer, you know, 2 or 3 year goals. But also we set annual goals. And every employee will have an annual goal that ties to this, either directly to something within the plan, or, for example, when I set my goals based on the plan, one of my direct reports may link their goal to, I am going to do this in support of that goal. So we'll be breaking those down. We'll have annual goals, as we always have, but we'll also be creating operational plans to meet this that are broken down in a more time-scheduled way. These aren't that specific. They weren't intended to be. Like I said, they're supposed to be worked on between departments and not one individual. So we should see all that materialize. And my office will work through those details, getting those plans together. Thank you. It's a great question.
Dr. Hill, yeah. Does anyone else see this plan? Is it mandatory to send it to Department of Education or any of those kind of things?
No.
Just for us.
It's just for us. Our creditor will ask to see it, and they'll ask to... the complete version where we go through the process, the creditor will want to see what the process looked like, that we involved all stakeholders, those kind of things, checking off those compliance boxes, but this is for us. This is the roadmap to how we get to achieve the goals that we've set.
Well, fantastic job, and thank everyone for the hundreds of hours they put into it. That's fantastic. This plan, is it, is every college required to do this plan, or is it just something we do because this is what we want to do to accomplish?
It's required within our accreditation to have a strategic plan and a strategic plan process. Doesn't necessarily have to be this thorough. We did send out, I believe the president sent out a previous version of one of the strategic plans we had. They're not always this deep. The last time we did it, we involved some outside help, and it kind of ended up feeling a little that way. When you work with consultants, you get a little bit of what they're trying to get done. This time, we didn't work with consultants. We put in all the work ourselves, and it feels like a plan that we made. Okay. Very happy with that.
Any other questions?
This is so thorough, and I love the three different versions and the historical documentation. So hope you're still here 5 years from now. But just in case not, I'm glad to know people have a playbook. A couple of questions. Well, some of us might get really excited about strategic plans. I know others may not be as much, but how is this information, this plan, going to be shared within SDF and outside SDF? Just that other potential community partners are aware that, wow, SDF, you know, has a new president, you know, cabinet, you know, refreshment, and they're really ready to go higher, faster. I'm just curious if there's a press release or a plan to share out with the staff.
Yeah, right now our marketing department is working on those things. We'll bring back to you something in the next meeting that's a little more tangible. We wanted to get the plan approved first before we got
okay.
it all into fancy versions.
Yes.
But yeah, those things are absolutely happening. We'll send it out college-wide in the internal operational version so everybody has a copy. We'll print them as well and make sure everybody has a printed copy on their desk of the operational version so that we can just use it on a day-to-day basis. We're also planning on having an internal town hall meeting to walk through some of the processes that we used to get there, but also explaining some of the pieces and what we emphasized and how they became the important pieces of meeting those goals.
Even better answers than I could have planned in my head, so that was great. And then just a more detailed question, looking at this particular example you printed, this was a great idea to just give us a snapshot view. I like the lagging and leading indicators, but looking at the perception climate indicators under KPIs, one of the references you have is employee satisfaction. I remember we had a great presentation from the HR department several months ago, and we had talked about some opportunities to add, such as some sort of employee satisfaction assessment tool. Would this then be the opportunity to give them the blessing to go off and find your employee satisfaction tool to then provide the climate indicator?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. We also have Dr. Fry on staff is expert in creating those types of tools, so they can work with. We work very closely with HR as soon as this stuff gets going, mm-hmm. you know, within goal setting, because we have our pieces of goal setting as we want to look at how it's operationalizing the plan, and they have goal setting within just the normal goal setting and review processes. So we work very closely with HR while we go through this, and yeah, we are very excited about those things. And those things are there very intentionally. The climate piece was frankly what I, you know, that was not my idea. So when I first saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, what a great piece of our KPIs to continually monitor how we're feeling about it, not just how we're performing. So.
I love that. As part of the process, you had your team look at what other colleges were doing that were doing these things well. My one word on that one is, if you're going to have any sort of assessment tool, to not create it in-house, look okay. for a standardized tool that is used by colleges you respect, so then you can really begin to benchmark yourself against peers, and or look at other third-party groups that will allow you to compare yourself against other good educational institutions and employers like the Gallup company or, you know, Prep Ganey's big in the healthcare world. But
yeah,
those are my two cents.
No, that's a great idea for that reason. And that'll help us see where our progress is.
Especially if we're learning from those best. It's like, well, how does your result compare to what they're working on too?
Any other questions or comments?
Hearing none.
Respectfully ask that you approve the strategic plan as we presented it.
Chair, accept a motion to adopt this strategic plan from 2026 to 2031.
So moved.
Motion.
Second.
Further discussion on this exceptional document. Hearing none, we'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. The motion carries. Thank you so
much. Thank you, sir.
Great job, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, little man.
Thank you.
Vice President, good morning. Another outstanding report.
Yeah.
You have the floor.
Thank you. I would just make one final comment to the strategic plan, though. Since you've approved this, the last piece that puts it operational will be the budget. When you approve that budget, the budget is geared towards how we're going to go about accomplishing the initiatives and the goals. So, with that, the financial statements that we're looking at are our third quarter through March 31st. Not too much strange or, you know, material variances to report on in this round. I think you're seeing just the regular cost pressures in the areas that we've identified through the year, our personnel costs, our contracted services. As we approach the final quarter to year end, you're going to see our spending increase. We billed and collected the bulk of our revenues, and we're recognizing those. But now is where our spending, as we get towards the end of the year, when we have to make some of those purchases or re-up some of our contracts for the next year. So you'll see that. Right now, though, on all four of the financial statements that we've seen here, we're still in a surplus position, which is always good. Other than that, I think you're also seeing that we've been trying to really align our recurring expenditures with our recurring revenues. We're trying not to use one time. You don't see that one time allocation from Fund 1 this period into Fund 7. And we're going to continue with that focus into the next year with the next budget cycle. Really trying to spend what we earn and not have to dip into reserves or things like that. Other than that, I tried to provide you the detail. So if you do have any questions on the statements that are in there, please feel free to ask them. But again, really trying to refine and pull out those variances and explain them to you as you review these financial statements so you can kind of see what's really happening period to period as we go through.
Question? Sorry, I do. Something would help me, and I assume I have the board, if you would be so kind. We never get the chance to see the entire operations at one time. We see it in different upper, lower, collegiate, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very interested in the income side. I mean, I read it and study it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice for me to see a pie chart
Okay. Of
actual, which I'm no next mean we won't have actual, but I'd like to see at some time where our money comes from, what percentage of that money is coming from those
mm-hmm.
different areas.
Mm-hmm.
Student fees, federal government, local government, state government, the things that are listed here.
You're going to see that as part of the budget presentation mm-hmm. next month.
Okay. Well, that's good because I think we need to see overall
mm-hmm.
the company sometimes, once in a while, we'll see the overall company at one time to have a better understanding of the entire approach to this funding part. So that's great. I would appreciate it. It also shows us vividly how dependent we are on others.
We will. That's exactly what falls out.
Except for expenses, which we seem not to have too much control over. But anyway, thank you for that. That'd be great. Appreciate it. Any other questions? Chair will entertain a motion for adoption of the non-financial consent agenda. Are there any exhibits that someone wants to pull to talk about more? I'd like to pull D, please. Is there a motion to accept everything except D?
So moved.
Second.
Moved. Second. Further discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Like sign. Vice President Price, on page, 17, I think it is.
15.
No, it's, this is about the collegiate schools. So I'm in the wrong pew, I think. No, Exhibit D is that. These dates we have here, it says that the plan, the report has to be done by Wednesday, April 29th, which I assume it was. And then it says the deadline for final submission by charter school sponsors is Friday, May 15th, which is past. So why are we getting this now?
Defer to Kelly.
Okay, I'm sorry, Kelly.
With the collegiate schools.
It was submitted by May
15th. Oh, okay. But we're going to approve it today? Or we're just kidding?
You're seeing it.
Just seeing it. Okay. I shouldn't want to vote on something that already lapsed with the education. Very good. Thank you. Is there a motion to accept Exhibit D? Motion?
Second.
Second. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Like sign. Approval of the financial consent agenda.
I move approval.
Motion to approve.
Okay.
There's a second to approve. Any further discussion?
Well, I do have one quick question for Jennifer. On the write-offs on page 156, okay, I just answered my own question.
Okay. That's a little confusing. This is mostly for reporting purposes.
Right, you're not taking the debt off, you're just...
Correct.
Right, you're just being conservative and reflecting it in the books.
In the books. This is for financial reporting purposes.
Got it. Okay. I'm good.
On note number 3, which appears in all the financial statements, it talks about the lack of the reduction due to decreases in interest rates. Mm-hmm. Where are our funds invested on a daily basis?
Those are our funds held in the state's prime account. So that's a state-managed account.
Okay, explain that system to me, please.
When we receive appropriations or funds, or our cash balances are held, they're held in a state prime account, which is managed by the state. We pull funds from there, and we pay our expenses from there. But it earns interest, and over time with the economy, we've seen interest rate changes. They were very high about a year and a half or so ago, and they've continued to come down. It's just a decrease in interest earned.
I don't understand that. In other words, the states invest in their money, which is assigned to us at a future date to use, and they're giving us the interest.
We get credit for that interest on our balance.
That only answers my question. That's pretty good of them. Thank you.
It made me very nervous the first few times I got an email saying you've withdrawn $700,000 from
when
the
state. When our payroll hits, we get notification when it pulls out of Prime, so, yeah.
Does that interest come from the state, or do they buy T-bills?
I believe it's probably supported by T-bill rates,
so
laddered treasuries, and
sort
things
of
like that.
The bottom line is we have absolutely no control.
We have no say in that.
Any further questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion carries. Vice President Price, salary schedule.
Page 157, you'll see the 26-27 salary schedule. Within this, it's for those of you who are unfamiliar, it is basically kind of our Bible for all of our positions and pay ranges for the college. We are required to review and update any changes or things like that every year. I will tell you in this current pass, and we have Paul here in the room if you have detailed questions, we've made no changes to salary ranges or dollar amounts. We have made some changes to position descriptions within those ranges or transferred between position levels based on the changing nature of some positions, or we've had a title change. For example, we've changed something from an academic secretary to an administrative assistant. It's mostly edits of that type of nature to this salary schedule. So there's no increase in level rates for you to review. It's mostly housekeeping and cleanup.
Okay, guys, you got about 75 pages here. Any questions?
I have one.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you remind me, because I feel like this was discussed and talked about, and I just cannot remember for the life of me. There were a couple of positions at the 26 West Entrepreneur Center that looks like it's being eliminated, like a manager, graphic design, program coordinator. Could you remind me what's happening on 26 West and why they're being eliminated?
The college made a decision that was intended to be a self-sustaining program.
Right. It wasn't. I remember that.
We've made the decision to eliminate that particular program.
Okay.
With that, we remove some of these positions from the salary schedule.
Is it still considered like an entrepreneurship hub, or is it being completely reorganized?
It's eliminated.
Okay.
We no longer have that.
Okay.
But certain programs, though, were transitioned into lifelong learning and workforce development that properly really should have been there all along. We also did notify and have staff apply for open positions in other locations, and we were able to place a good number of them in existing positions.
And the people that were renting space have moved on?
No.
No, they're still there?
That's a separate,
okay.
Those weren't 26 West programs.
Okay.
Those are just tenants of the college that are leasing space from us in that building.
Okay. And the facilities are being used for classes now in terms of?
We're using some of the spaces for classroom space. We've opened it up to a few existing tenants who needed some more space in the area. So
is that where the trucking goes?
Fleet Force.
Mm-hmm. Fleet Force, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So does that eliminate our losses there now that we have been sustaining?
It does.
Good question. Mr. Greger, would you like to discuss any of this?
Okay, Trustee Decker.
I'm sorry.
As you so wisely observed, the faculty and everybody worked so hard on these things, put in a lot of extra hours, and then it was mentioned that there really are no salary adjustments. So we prepared these ranges with the competitive marketplace.
We have, and we're currently, we've contracted out with a third-party provider for a salary study. So we're taking a look
at that
right now.
Okay, mm-hmm. So with all these good people, all of them enjoy
they're wonderful
dinner and
people.
Like that.
Unfortunately, our salaries, which is a recurring expense, have to be tied to recurring revenues. And so to be able to implement a permanent salary increase, we would need an increase in recurring revenues, which is why we look to things like one-time recognition payments or things like that.
I mean, with all these good folks, we want to keep around.
I know.
Well, as I said, they all enjoy dinner and having a roof.
I completely agree. I'm one of those folks. But yes, I mean, that is kind of one of the traditional rubs of higher education, though, too, that we struggle with, is trying to match recurring funding with recurring expenses. And salaries are biggest expense.
Is it tricky?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Greger,
Chairman, I'll just add, we'll get really into the details, like Vice President Price mentioned, next month when we present the budget to you. But you may recall, last year at this time, we were presenting a budget that was a projected negative $3 million for the year. And Jennifer and her team have done tremendous work in the whole college, identifying every place we could make cuts, even some places we couldn't, but we had to, you know, put the belt on a little bit tighter. And then some programs that were losing money, including the program out of 26 West and the Traffic Safety Institute, TSI. Some difficult decisions that we've made, we've talked about here in the board before. Long story short, when we present a budget to you next month, we think it is going to be a break-even budget. So instead of a negative $3 million, between us tightening the belt, some difficult decisions, and the additional recurring dollars, you're going to see us present a proper level budget. So it's really a huge, huge victory, and comes after a lot of work by the staff and everyone across the college.
And we hope to tell you some very good news in that next meeting, provide us phone calls from Tallahassee County like they're supposed to. One last question for you, if I could. Can you tell us what the board should expect at our next meeting with this budget has to be passed? Mm-hmm. Are we going to be here longer? Or are we going to be able to see all this stuff and understand it? Or
oh, yeah.
You're going to work through it on the board with it and all that kind of stuff?
I'm going to have some slides. I will also have the budget laid out like you're used to seeing your financial statements now, with an explanation of each variance from year to year and why we made those changes. I'm going to walk you through our budget process that the college went through this year, our new budget assumptions that we've used that tie us into our higher and faster strategic plan, but that worked to, you know, we can't keep operating in a deficit budget. We need to balance the budget. So that was our primary goal. And so you'll understand not only where our revenues are coming from, how we're spending them, how we're planning on spending them, and how we're planning on getting through the next year.
So, that's my job.
One of my long-running piece. Can we see that in the packet before we get to the meeting?
Yes.
That was going to be my question. Is if we're having to vote on that particular day, we normally get the packet, Thursday, Friday ahead of time of the meeting. Is it possible to get it a little sooner?
Well, I will tell you, it does depend a little bit on the information that we get from the legislature. And I think that's why that was late last year, was you were literally getting information about your recurring dollars like the day before you guys were having a board meeting. Okay. So, I mean, that's kind of where that is. Right now, I'm thinking that we're right on track to be able to prepare the board packet, have the information in there, and you see that and come prepared for the meeting. I mean, that
still,
is the goal.
Still waiting on a call from Tallahassee.
We are. We are. But I think we'll have enough time to get that together. We should.
We want to adopt this schedule.
So, looking ahead, I know we're going to vote next month, and mm-hmm. things are still a little bit up in the air, but in terms of salary increase, are we looking at being able to long-term build in a salary increase? Or we're still
next year's budget does not have a salary increase in it.
Okay, so if we want to, again, provide something to staff, it would be a one-time lump sum.
Correct.
What we're doing.
Correct.
We have been constantly robbing Peter to pay Paul for the last 4 years, I think. In other words, we have to find a way to save enough money to give him one time increase. It's not the way to run a company, but our hands are tied by the state. I mean, there's just nothing we can do about it. I mean, we want to do it, that's the way it is.
But I think we also need to build the story for President Gregory and for all of you. We need to be able to give you the financial statements where we're stewarding the money that we have the best way we can. We're coming in with a balanced budget. We're highlighting, you know, where we can, we're providing for staff in a different way, not through operating budgets right now. But it's telling a story that you can go and tell other folks and making a case for an increase in our recurring dollars. So
So I just want to make sure all of our homework is done, and we're doing the best we can with every dollar that we get from the state, and be able to show them that, to justify giving us a little bit more.
I don't remember last year, we had actually council buying computers that we had, that money was assigned to go to. But we had to put it off, and use those funds, they didn't buy computers. So we had it for the employees. There's still a need for computers, you see what I'm saying? Is a computer more important than people? No, we made the right decision. But when something gets better, something gets better. Any further questions? Do we need a vote on this, or something, just give it, I assume we do.
Yes.
Chair entertain a motion to adopt the salary schedule as presented.
So moved.
Motion. Second. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Vote like sign, motion carried. You have in your packet, Chris's normal update of our projects. Chris, Mr. Wellman, Vice President Wellman, you have the floor.
Well, in support of the higher faster strategic plan, Florida statute and SREP, State Department for Educational Facilities, says we'll develop a 5-year educational plant survey, and a physical master plan is going to support the overall strategic plan. So that's one thing I'm going to request approval on tonight, this morning. And I've also got our annual CIP capital improvement program down with some short people. Just a shout out to Emmanuel. You can see his name on a number of these documents. There's a lot of documents in there. Thank you to Emmanuel.
Y'all know Emmanuel? Been working for the last 5 years. Great guy. Doesn't say much, but he worked really, really hard behind the scenes for us. Done a great job. All these pieces of paper can be attributed back to him somehow.
So page 212 of your board packet, you'll find that the 5-year educational plan survey. So the plant survey uses a DOE program called EFIS, Educational Facilities Information System, and it's tied to SREP, which has got a bunch of formulas that calculates space needs. And it takes the college's 5-year projection of student population, figures out how many student station seats you're going to need, and then how much square footage you're going to need to support those student stations on a whole variety of different types of spaces. It either comes out and says you have deficiency or you have surplus. If you have deficiency, then you can justify the need for remodeling and construction, that type of thing. So that, actually, if you look at our CIP that I'll go over, it has to tie back to the educational plan survey saying there was a need of efficiency of space. So we, back in August, Dr. Hanel and his staff submit to the DOE our student forecast. We're at about the 7,000 5 years from now, which is the basis of all the calculations. And you can see that our priorities this year are the Venice Cleveland School Building, the Parrish Cleveland School Building. Something new that we've got is a college-wide incident command ops center. If you look at where public safety facilities are, incident command congregate during post-storms, we're sub floodplain elevation, and this addresses that and addresses some of the worst, oldest condition buildings that we've got. Now we've got two new placeholders in here. Priority 4, and these are very conceptual in nature, but we want to get them into this 5-year plan. We've got the building we're putting up at Parrish right now. We've got the collegiate school, and then we're putting a placeholder in here for a third academic building. We don't know what that is, what size it would be, but it's a placeholder. And then the fifth is a Venice academic student support type building. And putting those two on here give us flexibility 3-4 years from now. We get a little bit of seed money and we want to do some concept study. We've got it in our plan. It's the logic behind that. I just took a couple of the pages of the 50-something pages out of the plan. Just real quickly, if you take our existing buildings, including Parrish, which is at 44,000 square feet, We're roughly 954,000 square feet. We got just over 4,300 parking spots. The physical master plan asks for three things. It says, take a snapshot of your as-built condition, your current buildings. It says, take a look at your five-year build-out, and then if you were to fully build out every site, how much square footage of buildings could you put up? How much parking would you need? So if we did a full build-out, you can see we would have roughly just under 1.8 million square feet. It's about an 83% increase. Just at about 7,000 parking spots. So we have a whole lot of capacity. I will say on the Bradenton campus, when you start hitting those numbers, you're going to need parking structures. And as you all know, that comes with quite an expense to it. That's in many out years from now. And that's the same situation at Lake Ranch. It's only a 10-acre site. You got the two buildings. You were to put a third building there, you're going to have put that third building over parking. You'd have to put a parking structure. So it really comes with a penalty to try to put a third building. Bradenton campus fully built out. We use the term cartoon, but that is really, if you were to plop a whole bunch of 2-3-story buildings, we currently would have, right now, have 656,000 square feet. We could put just under a million square feet at 959,000. On the Venice campus, we currently have 175,000 square feet. Fully built out would be about 360. Couple gee whiz factors. Here's West Village. The Braves Stadium is down here at the bottom. At some point, it becomes a loop burden here, and you could put parking and serve the back there. But again, we got a lot of space, a lot of capacity there to support our strategic plan.
Chris, can you back up one? Will you just show us on this picture, obviously the buildings in red are the notional cartoon placeholders. But this one is projecting the Collegiate School of Venice when it gets built. Can you show us where that is?
Yeah, so up here on the north side, because within the next 5 years, that would be constructed here. You know, the trailers are down here right now, and Collegiate School is in the bottom half of 800. Lake Greenwich, again, if you put a third building, it would drive a parking structure. We just have about 80,000 square feet there. Fully built out would be about 118,000 square feet. And then the parish, this building's going up. You know, this is the area that's within phase one right now. It's May of next year. There's the Collegiate School. Phase two, that's basically going to be a duplication of what we're doing at Venice right now. And I told Trustee Gibson that I would share at the June meeting just progress on both parish and the Venice design. And this is a 44,000 square feet building. If you did a full build out, the numbers I shared with you puts us at 310,000 square feet. Our general development plan that the county approved will allow us to build up to 5 stories. I don't know if the college would ever do that, but it would give you a range of between 310,000 to 450,000 square feet, whatever the next generation is wanting to do on that site. So based on all that, I'm requesting board approval for both the 5-year educational plan survey and the physical master plan.
General questions for Chris? Yes, ma'am.
And this could be really stupid, but out of this is built on a growth rate of 7,000 in 5 years of students. Are you able to tell what percent we use to calculate will be online versus in person? Because obviously buildings require in person.
Great point. I think roughly right now we're 60-40, 60 physically on site, 40 online.
So the growth kind of, we followed the 60-40 model?
Reverse. 40 on site, 60 on site. You can share, that's a great question.
Pardon me, can you read it out?
Well, I was just curious, we did a 5-year based on current, and I'm curious, out of the 7,000, what percentage are we expecting to be online versus in person?
Probably 50-50 or 60 online, 40.
Are you seeing a growth of online or growth of in-person?
We're beginning to see some more demand for in-person. Those classes are filling up really quickly right now. There's always demand for online, but
slightly differently. So, but we, I think we are seeing increased demand for Facebook search. Right?
Mm-hmm. To your underlying point, Trustee Collins, for each of these buildings, before we would come to you, we would need to get the data. So, okay, what's the demand, what's the need, before we go to the legislature and ask to build those 6-7 buildings in Parrish over the next years and years.
So the ask isn't necessarily we want to put this money in the budget to ask in 5 years. The ask is just this is what we have to present to the state as option.
Right, that we are required to present it
right.
to the state. That's right.
Right.
And we can change it. We can present this year, and then each year after this year, we could go in and ask for a different building than is the one on there based on changing.
But it's based on the state required audit and the auditor that we had to use for the report. It was something about the report.
Yeah, so the plant survey looked at our projections and then looked at our existing square footage and said we either have a need or we don't have a need for certain types of space. And you got to be able to justify that. So to answer your question, specifically on the talk CIP next, that's where we get together and say, okay, we're going to ask money for these priorities. And that's on an annual basis.
Okay. Is the CIP inclusive of, like, the deferred maintenance aspect? And then this is just, like, if we needed to build out everything?
So,
thank you.
Maintenance is number one, Venice is number two, Parrish is number three, and then that incident command is number four.
Okay.
And you've got to provide a narrative of estimating cost and the return on investment. It's all part of that CIP.
Okay.
Further questions for Chris? Yes, sir.
That's a good question. That was my question, too. do we look at the cost or the investment per student? I know you backed into that. Do we compare that with other schools in the state do that? Like, are other schools accomplishing a lower cost per student in space? Do we have that?
So part of the CIP, we attend an annual workshop for the DOE. The only thing that they provide on that is they look at facilities, O&M, operations and maintenance costs, and they compare all 28.
Okay. And where are we?
We are...
The Brazen campus is very expensive.
We are 14% less than the average.
Really?
We're 35% less than up here with a similar size square foot. So we're at that 920,000 square feet. I think I took 800,000 to 1.3 million out of those tiers. There's about 6 or 7 of them, and we're considerably less than our peers.
The three colleges that are essentially the same size as us each spend and receive from the state an additional $17 million a year. That's the gap we're trying to close.
Why is that even an issue?
Politics.
Well, obviously, I mean,
of the schools that have received the most of these funding, as president of the Senate, has resided as president during the times of escalation. So all of us that weren't involved with that are already worse than that. You know, because when you're in Jacksonville, lots of voters, right? When you're in Miami, lots of voters. I want to say one thing before we leave this. As you recall from my, I think it's last meeting, whenever it was, maintenance and repairs and renovations, maybe not renovations, but maintenance and repairs has been a real thorn for us because of huge escalations in the crisis, but no funding coming in to do it. And so this is something we have to just try and stay on top of. Remember I told you last, before 2013, the state was smart enough to say, here's $1 million for a building, and then here's a couple hundred thousand for the next 5 years to help you maintain it. All that got changed. Why, I don't know, but it did. And there's where we're really getting beat up big time on the expense side of that ledger sheet. Maintenance is very, very expensive. Necessary, by the way. It's not like we can't do it, we have to. But, you know, AC system goes down, we're talking major dollars. Yes, ma'am.
Is there a formula with the state that says, in other words, if we're going to build classroom space for 1,000 students, they give us X amount of dollars per student, and that's how much the building should cost? Or is it sort of like, here's $10 million and you build what you see fit? Or, I'm just thinking that construction prices vary significantly throughout the state, so like, is that any of that taken in?
Absolutely. So the annual conference we go to, the DOT takes a running average of all costs of construction for all 28 state colleges. And there's about, what, man, 8 different categories of different types of buildings. And the template shows up with a cost per square foot for the various types of buildings. So it's a plug and play number. And we'll typically put a number a couple of these are a couple of years out, so we'll put cost escalation in, inflation or CPI to adjust it.
On the note of the plug and play cost per square foot, depending upon the type of building, thinking about parking garages and the expense that they pose, and you know, we're still living in the world of how automobiles have functioned for the last, you know, 35 years or so. But is there any thought about building parking garages in such a way that they could be refabricated for classroom space decades later as the use of cars changes and shifts?
That's a great point. So there has, and I did show two buildings there, but we've always had discussions that would be a joint use space, so parking on the upper and maybe classroom on the bottom, but it becomes just a big old rigid concrete structure that you absolutely could future repurpose it.
So people, as you construct parking garages now, they would be constructed in such a way that as driving patterns and parking patterns change, it could be utilized in a different way in the future.
I don't foresee us even talking parking structures in the next decade.
Oh, I know, not decade.
But absolutely,
I mean,
it's great.
20, 30, I'm just curious if that, I would imagine that would be an extra expense in the initial build, but would pay dividends later on. Anyway, just a very futuristic question that board members should ask.
Interesting concept.
Yes. Okay, and then my other question is, we've often thought about, I've been thinking about comparing the college in terms of, degrees offered and the number of students served, but how does the actual square footage footprint compare? Are we one of the smaller, medium, or larger colleges in the state?
We are right in the average size.
Okay, and as some of these additional buildings, you know, because we're building some exciting things, do we still remain in the middle, like the upper middle maybe then?
Yeah, so we put about 100,000 square feet in the last decade. We're going to have the 44 here, the collegiate school at 22. Yeah, that average is still about that 800 to 1.2 million.
And are other colleges building at the same rate that we are as well?
Oh, yeah.
I would have imagined so, but. All right, thank you.
Jim?
I haven't asked this question before, but what community college services Charlotte County?
That is Southwest.
Southwestern does, and we actually have some Charlotte students that make the drive to our Venice campus, but primarily Florida Southwestern.
So they have their own plan to grow that town.
They do.
Any further questions?
So we're looking for board approval for our, as you know, the CIP starts July 1, 2027. So we're looking for board approval of our next year's CIP capital improvement program.
We'll accept a motion to adopt the plan as it's been presented.
So moved.
Motion. Second by Jeremy. Any further discussion?
Do we need to do both?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back
we did.
Yeah.
They
did two.
The survey master plan wasn't approved yet.
Great.
Yeah, okay.
So you've got the CIP approved. Requesting board approval for the 5-year educational plan survey and physical master plan.
Is there a motion? motion to adopt that.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any further discussion?
Can you tell me who did the CIP, because it was too fast.
I was second. I was first.
First, I was second.
Thank you.
So motion is second on the floor. There's no further discussion. Call for vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Pose like sign. Motion carries. Now we need a second vote. No, we're good.
Susan, did they vote on both?
Yes.
Thank you.
Let me say one quick thing here to the new board members that haven't been here as long as Ron and I. This maintenance issue, as I discussed, is very, very expensive and very, very important to this board and to how we run things. Chris has a computer program, and a young man running that computer program. It is so intricate. I spent hours down there on this thing. It's unbelievable. Every piece of equipment that we install is logged in his computer with this life expectancy and its maintenance schedule. And every day when they walk in, something pops up and says, Building 8 has to have this done to AC number 17. Well, not only does it keep us up with what's going on, it keeps Chris knowing that, okay, that's 4 years old, it's only worth 5 years. I know I got to start putting that in the budget. And it helps him with his budget of what he's going to have to maintain. He can maintain. This computer program, I don't care what it cost us, is well worth it. It saved us millions of dollars. Okay, is there any old business come before the board? Hearing none. Any new business?
Well, I do have a quick question under new business. President Gregory, tell us about the Guardian program. I heard after we had that meeting that the governor did approve it. Is it going to come with money, or do you just want to prove it?
There was a bill in the legislature this year. The governor signed it at the annual commissioners summit. So all the college presidents, university presidents, superintendents, everybody was down in Miami for that meeting. So I signed that program. The Guardian program is where, remember, in the K-12 setting first, they allocated budget and legislative legal authority for them to have armed presence on campus. They have now extended that to colleges and universities. So we could, if we had additional recurring dollars, hire people to fill that role. At any rate, to answer your second question, is there additional money? Yes, but it is a very small pot. And our lead, Sean Patton, who is down there with me as well for public safety, will be putting together a package for us to make an application for some of those funds so that we could add that level of security to our campuses as well. And hopefully we'll be high enough on the list to get that pot of money. They have two pots of money, actually. One was for the Guardian program. The other piece of that legislation is hardening dollars. And hardening, of course, is a unique challenge when you have an open campus set up the way that all colleges and universities essentially have, and not just one, right? We're already have three campuses and then fourth. The pot of money will not be nearly big enough to harden all the college and university campuses in the state. I'm not sure there is enough money to do all of that anywhere, but regardless, Sean will have the lead for us. We will put forth some proposals. You know, we're not envisioning adding fences or anything around our campuses, but maybe we'll put in an application for cameras or other technology that we can utilize to better prepare us.
Any other new business? There you go. Mrs. Holmes?
Thank you. I would like to add to Dr. Hale's conversation, the foundation uses, as a direct support organization, we use the strategic plan to fundraise. A lot of our funders like to see the strategic plan, and then what we do with our final report, we kind of wrap it up as a folder for our strategic plan, and we send it with the final report of a grant, because then we're really able to
you know, embrace those outcomes and impacts of what the grant is doing with Higher and Faster. So it's very, very much a significant document that the foundation uses to really codify and solidify a lot of our major gifts, as well as donors that may be thinking of a letter of intent. And those are invitation only, but with the strategic plan and the robust work that the group has done, that really will be a wonderful catalyst for fundraising. So thank you very much. The foundation currently is $500,000 above what we did last year, same time. We do have four more months to go, as our year end is September 30th. This time of year, we are hyper-focused on scholarships, awarding scholarships, working with our volunteers that are reading scholarships, answering their questions, and then a lot of our scholarship readers want more. And so once they go through their 15 scholarships and learn that they're so easy to read and it's, you know, click, 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 we make it very easy for them, then they're wanting some more applications to read, which is significantly helpful to the foundation. We also look at our scholarships that may have gaps, meaning, you know, a lot of people are, you know, have a lot of things and they're super busy in their life, and they just need those reminder phone calls to fund their pass-through scholarships and or fund a scholarship that they've been waiting to do for the fall. And so we do a lot of follow-up and a lot of stewardship occurs during these next 4 months. And then we do a lot of planning, just like you're doing. We're looking at our budgets, we're looking at our strategic calendar, and then we want to align that with the Higher and Faster strategic vision of the president's office. So what I want to kind of go over today is we have a really big week. This is the week that we're going to be, May 28th, we're going to be honoring the final gift for the unveiling of the SCF Venice Collegiate High School. And we're going to have a press event on May 28th at 3 o'clock. I know some of you can come. You're more than welcome to attend. Dr. Jervy will be there. Also, our collegiate school, Kelly Minot and Karen Peck, will have parents there. There's going to be students that will be there, as well as the faculty of the Collegiate High School. And so it'll be a real great day to focus on the future of what's happening on our Venice campus. And we do expect to have a lot of press. And, you know, believe it or not, at the foundation, we also look at the weather. And I don't know if you have looked at the weather, but we are going to have a significant rain event that's going to kick off on Thursday and go through Sunday. Lucky State College of Florida. So we do need the rain desperately in our community. And so we are going to be, we do have a rain plan. We're going to be moving our event. More than likely, I'm about 90% sure, it's going to not be a good day to be outside in the beautiful center part of our Venice campus. And so we will be moving into the Jervy Library as our plan. And I do appreciate the Student Services and Enrollment Management moving their orientation into the larger building, the Sarah Pappas building, so that we can have that rain plan. And we don't want everyone to just get completely soaked. So do know that we do have that rain plan. We do expect a little under 100 people there. And then we are very appreciative that Honorable James Buchanan will be saying a few words, as well as President Gregory. Yes.
He has been called back to Tallahassee.
Okay.
He just told me like 10 minutes ago.
Okay, very good. Then we will miss him. But, and so it'll be a great event. And then, of course, President Gregory will be there, as well as we will have Dr. Jervy saying a few words as well. So thank you very much. And any questions for me? Yes.
What's your foundation's fundraising goal this year?
$3.2 million. So we have about, I'd say, a little under 26% to go. And then we do believe we will hit that goal. If we look at our past performance in these next 4 months, we usually are a little over $600,000.
And, of course, I know the answer to this, but does that include or not include Dr. Derby's gift?
That excludes Dr. Derby's gift. Our board is very, wants to strive for a stretch goal, and so the 3.2 excludes Dr. Derby's gift. And this is new money. This does not include any bequests, any planned gifts. We do have a planned gift initiative. If there's a will, there's a way. We started that in May, and then we'll keep hitting our database as we see that people have an interest in leading the quest to State College of Florida Foundation.
And then my last question for the trustee, what's the round number total value of the foundation assets?
The foundation assets as of last week were like $130 million. So though that is, primarily restricted funds. So we do not have a large unrestricted endowment. So many people get that confused somewhat. Yes?
The $130 million in the state funny money account?
It is not. lucky for us, we're professionally managed by a company called SEI Investment Company. Their corporate headquarters is out of Philadelphia. We wouldn't want to hurt anyone's feelings locally if they were to manage, so we try to keep a neutral in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good job. More comments? Maybe it's
another excellent meeting. Looking forward to the call from Tallahassee. Maybe that's what James was called on. Looking forward to the next school year.
I want to commend President Gregory and Dr. Hale for the work of the strategic plan, and it absolutely shows the quality in staff. And I know through experience it will strengthen your systems by that in-depth work. And the cost savings, enormous from going to an outside agency, which does influence the workings of what's been going on here. So, well done.
I just want to make a comment about the kind of the big picture of budgeting for us, having been through this a few years. One of the favorites of school districts, too, is complaining about state budget, state funding. Never enough. They're always cutting us. State's always saying, we gave you more. We don't have enough. This is a kind of an ongoing thing, which is not to say we don't have a legitimate issue here. I think the numbers bear out that SDF does have a legitimate issue on being underfunded. But I will also point out that with all of our belt tightening in the previous administration and with this administration, these are still pretty impressive numbers in the president's report. We're still doing what we're supposed to be doing, even with all the belt tightening. And I think that goes to one of our key responsibilities as trustees, and that's to be responsible with the money we have. With the public funds that we have, we are supposed to be good stewards of that money. And I think we have that. I'm fine with us being as aggressive as possible about getting more. The chairman mentioned that the money often follows the Senate president. Well, we're about to be in a much better situation on that front over the next few years. And that might be able to reset our recurring amount at a much higher level. That would be nice. But I just want to encourage us all, including the staff, that there's been yeoman's work done to keep tightening the budget, to keep finding places to cut, eliminating programs when necessary, and still continuing to carry out our responsibility as the State College of Florida, specifically for the students. It's been a struggle. It'll continue to be a struggle. I guarantee you there's never will be a time when the board will say, we got enough money from the state. We're good to go. That doesn't happen. But we do have responsibility with whatever money we do get to steward it responsibly. I think we have. And I just want to encourage us to continue that way, even as we can, I think, hope for and aggressively pursue better funding from the state in the next few years. That's my comments.
Well said.
I just want to say I'm really pleased that we're able to give the 7% to the staff. I think that will be really meaningful for them and certainly well-earned. in light of the fact that our enrollment is up 7.9%, which is fabulous. In that continued growth. And kudos to Jennifer Price for giving us a balanced budget, because that is not easy, but I think it's really important for sustainability.
I just helped them through it.
Agreed. I really enjoyed this meeting because it was quite literally a strategic meeting. There was a lot of focus on the future, from the strategic plan to the capital improvement proposal that was brought to us. And so I think it's important to hold both the visioneering as well as the day-to-day. And it was just an absolute joy and honor to read many scholarship applications this month, and to read the stories. I think it came out to be about 30 or so folks, and to read why it is we're doing what we're doing, and why we're spending the time, or you're spending the time, looking 5-10 years down the road. It made me even more thankful to be serving on the board. So, you know, stories from, you know, people basically being on their own before they were 18, making life happen, single mothers, first generation students, veteran stories. Yes, I really encourage you, if you have not signed up to do it, it's really well worth your time, and will make you that much more glad to be sitting in these seats next month.
Ditto, because I think everybody said it, but the only other thing I would add is, as we get to summer, don't forget that SCF has an amazing camp program at many of their campuses, so tell your friends. My son loves it every year.
Dr. Hill, great job on the strategic plan. I know that we only see the tip of the iceberg, all the work that went into it, but pretty clear, I think, to all of us that you guys really put your time and effort in it and have it as a working document. That's great.
I'm asked at the spur of a moment to talk about things at SCF, as you probably can imagine. And so I made myself a little cheat sheet, and the president went over to make sure I didn't get it screwed up. So I didn't thought maybe you might want to have it too, or you can throw it away. It's up to y'all. But I'm going to pass those around. You get one I've written on, because I didn't print enough off my computer this morning. Thank you for all you that showed up for the graduations and the pinnings of the nurses. That was a great day, a long day for me, but it was a big day. And quite frankly, that's our product, right? We're graduating kids, that's what we're here, that's what it's all about. So thank you for being there. Thank you for grading those scholarships also. Hey, no further business?